This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together,
but human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
Now, this is Sci-Fi and Scream, and of course, in the studio tonight, we have some amazing guests. We also have an interview with an award-winning director in just a few seconds. But first, I want to introduce some of our special guests here tonight on the show. Now, welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, first time ever. Lindsay, welcome.
Yep, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here, Lindsay. Now, we're going to be chatting to you about your work, because tonight it's all about, I had a brainwave earlier in the evening, passions, what it is that gets us all fired up, and what are we passionate about in genre? Is it films? Is it artwork? And for you, Lindsay, it is pretty much artwork.
Yep. All of the above.
All of the above. Excellent. And also we've got Zach back.
Welcome, London. Zach. How are you going? Good to see you again.
Good. You're going to be talking about something called Cultastrophe. I hope I said that right.
Yep, Cultastrophe. That's it's the new genre cinema event in Melbourne at Cinema Nova. So I'm looking after the film programming for that. Cool. And we've got a lot of cool things which are sure to ignite many listeners' passions, I'm sure, throughout the week. It's a new cult film every week, so we've got to get there eventually.
Yeah. Well, look, that is your passion.
It is.
Would you say?
I'd say it's something I've been able to been lucky enough to carve out to a bit of a caveat in that. So
that is true. Mm. And of course, speaking of cult classics, I guess you could call it, look, the House of Hammer with the Hammer House of Horror theme, the very theme tune to most of their awesome movies. And that, of course, sort of segues to what you'll be chatting about to us, some of those films you've got on that selection coming up.
You can't have a cult event without Hammer popping up, in my opinion. Everything I've ever programmed have always had Hammer as an appearance, because I remember seeing it when I was a kid on Channel 2, seeing an old Chris Lee, Peter Cushing film. I was like, I'm interested in that. I like that.
Look, if you don't have Hammer, what's wrong with you? Yep. I'm just biased, of course. But on the phone line right now, we've got Lee. Lee Galea, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Sonia. Oh, you are there. Excellent. Does help. Now, Lee, you are the award-winning film director, producer and writer of something called Monster Pies.
Yep, that's me.
That's you. We've had you on the show before as a podcast and pre-record. Now, we're getting closer to the studio every time because now you're live on the telephone, so that's a bonus.
Yes, and I got to meet you at that sci-fi convention.
Oh, yeah, you were at Supernova.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. All right, so Lee, tell us a little bit about Monster Pies. Firstly, most of our listeners and most people here at Joy know about the story of Monster Pies, but yeah, what can you fill us in on some of the news?
We released it at Melbourne Queer Film Festival, and then it surprisingly won the festival, which we didn't expect at all. You predicted it, I didn't. But
I used my crystal ball on that one, I think. I don't know.
And then we got, at the same time the festival was going on, we got picked up by distributor TLA Releasing. And
oh, wow.
They're everywhere, London, New York and stuff, and France. And so that was all kind of, everything was all happening at once, and I had to kind of keep it hush because last time we spoke, I mentioned, like, you know, it would be great for a distributor to pick it up, and now we're talking again, and it's already happened.
So
it's all just happened really fast and quick, and didn't expect that as well. We're just preparing it I have to do like a slight edit for the DVD release, which will be later in the year. Yeah.
Oh, how are you feeling about that? That's pretty exciting.
I love the fact I don't have to release. I distributed my last feature myself and made the covers and put everything together with the discs, and that was a lot of work, and then selling them. So I'm just kind of glad I don't have to do any of that stuff now. Like, it's all it's all done for me, and it's a bit of a peace of mind. And I just wrap that. So I just get constant messages on on YouTube and Facebook, like, when can we buy this film? When can we see this film? How can we get a copy of it? And so it'd be good soon to be able to put an answer to those questions.
Yeah. So briefly, can you tell us a little bit about the movie, if there's anyone out there who hasn't seen it?
Yeah, I'm sure there's people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's a love story between two boys in high school that blossoms whilst they're working on a monster movie for English class based on... Anyway, all set in the west of Melbourne. And, you know, what we don't say in the film is that it's set in the 90s, but we just... People think it's the 90s anyway, but,
something to do with the haircuts, I think.
Yeah, I did one of the boys undercut myself and tried to make it very... Yeah, not undercut 90s.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, nobody knows that.
Oh, you must be thrilled. Is it the Audience Choice Award?
Yeah, Choice
Award,
yeah.
That's
which is
great.
They're kind of, it's their best, the only one they have for the features, for the best film of the, they don't have, and I think the panel chooses as well, like gets to vote on that and add to that, so... Mm. Yeah, and I was thrilled. I've never won an award for my filmmaking before, and I was just rapt to get into this festival. Did not think we were going to be a highlight because we were only shown once, and you had to get kind of like those little flyers when you leave the screening.
Yeah,
and I just thought because you know we're only getting shown once, and that you know there wasn't going to be the opportunity for votes and stuff.
But, so did you? Pay all your friends to fill them out, did you?
Well, just kidding. I stayed in the cinema after the screening. I didn't even know they were giving out those things. And me and my twin brother and his wife, like, we didn't even see them, those papers. We didn't vote. We didn't even know.
I believe you. Don't have to prove it.
No, we didn't even. And I was like, oh, my God, like, do you know, I thought... I didn't even know. I was so consumed by the reaction of the audience and people coming up to me, talking to me, and I just... Well, that was the last thing on my mind,
yeah.
So...
Well, it's a fabulously moving film, and I believe you've got one screening left, is that right?
Yeah.
At Acme?
Yeah, it's the last Acme screening.
Okay.
On this Saturday at 7:15. So.
Cool. Well, people should definitely check that out because it's very rare that you have a film of that sort of calibre in an LGBTIQ film festival, does so well, but also comes from a horror fan, which I'm going to put you on the spot. Sorry, but we're talking about our passions tonight for genre. And what's yours?
What's my...
Passion.
For genre.
Yeah.
Oh, God. As in when I make films?
As in, yeah, well, I guess thematically.
Or when I want to watch films.
Yep.
Fuck. I wish you would have asked me this question.
I know, isn't it cruel? And we're live, so to make it even better.
Look, I do like a good scare. Like,
yeah.
If I can get so scared that I start laughing at the end of the scare because I got so scared, like, yeah, that's fun.
That's fun, yeah.
As I get older, I'm starting to get... If I hear reviews that saying, oh, you know, they had to ban this film because it was too scary or something like that, it's just like, nah, I can't go next to this movie, even though I'm intrigued by it. But I like, you know, and I like a good sci-fi. Like, I love... Yeah, I went and saw Tom Cruise's movie because, you know, sci-fi, I don't know, it was all right, but anything kind of, yeah, anything in the future I like.
Yeah. Have you seen Oblivion?
I did. That was the Oblivion, yeah.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise. Mm.
Yeah. I was like, it nearly got there. It's not, it wouldn't, I don't...
That's pretty much his career, isn't it? Oops, I guess you could say that. Because he belongs to that crazy sci-fi club, which we won't mention.
Yeah.
Just in case.
I love Minority Report, and I think that's... To me, that's a good Tom Cruise sci-fi, and if he can't do equal or above that, then... Yeah.
Then let's give it up.
Then I'm not that happy anyway.
All right. Hey, look, yeah. Lee, we're going to have to leave you, but hey, thanks so much for talking to us tonight on the show Sci-Fi thanks. And Squeam.
Yeah.
And look, good luck with Monster Pies. That's fantastic news, and now the rest of the world's going to find out what it's all about, which is great.
Yeah, so just got shown in Boston, had its American premiere last couple of Saturdays ago, and
cool.
Soon Canada is going to get it. So, yeah, it's all exciting.
Well, you have a good evening.
Thanks,
hey, thanks for talking again to us. Lee Galea, the director, producer, writer, and everything else, almost, for Monster Pies. Congratulations.
Cheers.
I would like to scan all of you in this room, one at a time.
There are 4 billion people on Earth. 237 are scanners. They'll control your mind, conquer your will, manipulate your body like a toy.
Self-destruct, 5 seconds.
The pain begins in your flesh, in your brain.
4 seconds.
You feel its power.
3 seconds.
The pressure, the pounding, the terror.
2 seconds.
You can't breathe. It chokes you. It destroys you.
Second.
You begin to self-destruct. Experience the terrifying power of scanners. You pray it will end, and it will. Scanners, their thoughts can kill.
Hi, this is Vegeta, Prince of All Saiyans, voiced by Christopher Sabat. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9, your home for all the things you like and stuff.
Yes, indeed. They said it perfectly. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. That was Lee Galea we spoke to earlier, the director, writer and producer and everything else, like I said, of the award-winning LGBTIQ film, the coming-of-age film with a bit of a horror, a little bit of a horror thing in there, and that's Monster Pies playing this weekend only at the ACMI here in Melbourne, or Batmania. Welcome to the show. We're back with Lindsay.
Hi,
Lindsay's here, and Zach.
Hey,
and of course that very strange, peculiar. I had to cut it short, actually. That piece of music of Love, an interesting version of Love is a Battlefield. Usually, that's by Pat Benatar, and that seemed to be done by a whole school group.
Yeah, it's quite odd, it's got a very kind of remote affiliation with Master of the Flying Guillotine, which is the film that we're opening our Cultastrophe season with. But because originally the soundtrack for Guillotine was the filmmakers appropriated. And I'll use inverted commas there. Kraftwerk soundtrack.
Right.
And they just kind of like threw it in. So over time, different producers have added different soundtracks to the film. The film was lost for over 30 years.
Goodness.
And it's been kind of bootlegged and rediscovered and whatnot. So that's why you get all these kind of weird soundtrack things that people have like attached different songs to the film. But officially, and the film that you'll be seeing if you come along to the Cultastrophe session will not have that song in it. I can guarantee you
that. Can you promise that?
I can promise that. It will have one of the original scores to it.
Very good. Yeah. All right, this is part of Cultastrophe that's going to be on only exclusively at Nova, but Master of the Guillotine is one of them. I mean, it's been cited as Mr. Tarantino is one of his favourite kung fu classic films. What else have you got there in the selection? Are you picked these films or
I've looked after the sort of curation of the program. Guillotine is our opening night film. That's from 1974, and you're right, Tarantino championed it as one of his favourites. The character
is it very violent, is it?
Not overtly. It is from the early 70s, so it's a little bit more kind of like old school kind of martial arts film, but it did inspire the character of Gogo Yubari from Kill Bill Volume 1. She has that very unique sort of ball and chain weapon.
Right, that is a fun scene.
One of the, the Master of the Flying Guillotine himself does have exactly that, a flying guillotine weapon that he engages battle with the one-armed boxer, who's the hero of the piece. But
one-armed boxer. It gets better and better.
It does. Guillotine is the quintessential choppy sock kung fu film. So
Baby Cart? The Baby Cart series.
I would say so. Yeah, definitely. Okay. It's just basically one huge fight scene, and it's got all the fantastic sort of like just.
Is that one of your passions, do you think, would be kung fu martial arts?
I do enjoy a good kung fu film, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think if the tone is right, as it certainly is with Master of the Flying Guillotine, you're in for a wild ride, and it just kind of slams you over one half the other. So, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. The whole kind of idea behind the Cultastrophe program is not to have any overarching themes. We're just kind of like presenting a bunch of cult films for you to come along and see. So one week we might be playing martial arts films. Next week we'll be playing something like body horror. We've got Scanners, David Cronenberg's.
Oh, I love Scanners.
Opus to telepathy and body ooze. The following week, and then we followed up with Hammer Horror with The Devil Rides Out, which is the only Hammer film where Christopher Lee plays a good guy. He does have a bit of an evil beard going on in the film, but he's definitely a good guy.
Evil beard, but it's those eyes of his and that wonderful, wonderful voice.
Definitely, definitely.
That's always a bad voice.
That is used, but to the powers of good in The Devil Rides Out. But another kind of major point of the program is to be able to showcase newer genre works as well, which may not technically be cult films yet, but viewers can get an entry-level kind of aspect
to them. So this could be one that I was going to mention. I mean, that is the Nullarbor Nymph.
The Nullarbor Nymph.
What is that all about? I know it's Australian. It I know
Australian.
That much.
Yep, it's based on a truckie folklore of the Nullarbor Nymph, who's this blonde strumpet who truckies see while they're driving down the Nullarbor, and she will lure them to their death. So one of the major things that we wanted to achieve with the program as well was giving Australian filmmakers, and particularly Australian genre filmmakers, an outlet to screen their films theatrically. If a lot of the times, you know, that's not really there for genre filmmakers, particularly in this country. So that was one of our kind of influences on the program, and being giving them a voice and being available to them, along with, as I said, some of the other newer works being Citadel, which is a great English hoodie horror film.
Hoodie horror. Mean a bit like, oh, what are they called? Oh, damn it. I've forgotten. It's basically the Joe Cornish, a little bit like that.
Sort of. Think of Harry Brown meets, you know, Shaun of the Dead, in a way.
Okay.
There's elements of scariness to it, but there's also a lot of kind of humour in it as well, a little bit. And also has one of the Night's Watch from Game of Thrones in it. I won't tell you which one, though.
I think I know, but I'm not going to.
There we go. And another great one that we've got on is Doomsday Book, a Korean film, which Madman Entertainment have for us. And that's a fantastic omnibus film about the end of the world. And
is that not going to get remade as a Western English-speaking film? I have heard.
Very possible as well. That's true as well, yeah. But this is the original from a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. And also got a great uncut HD master of another Cronenberg film, The Brood.
That's an old one.
Oliver Reed stars as a crazy psychiatrist who's doing some tests that he may not be doing. So, yeah.
Another film where he wasn't sober, but
I highly doubt it. No, I think that was a contractual agreement that he couldn't be sober while acting.
Him.
And
well, you know,
one of my favourites, Repo Man as well.
Oh, fantastic. Alex Cox, Punk Cinema.
So, yeah, we're going to be taking a break during the Melbourne International Film Festival. So this is our first kind of part of the program. Mm-hmm. Runs up until early July. Mm. It's going to be every Friday night at 9:45 p.m. at Cinema Nova. Mm. We'll be back after MIFF with a whole
I can't believe how fast this year is going
already. It is pretty. MIFF is almost upon
it's
us as well.
Upon us.
So,
I know. But, it's frightening.
In the interim, if you want to see some cult films that you won't be able to see anywhere else, and we have an exclusive pre-show which features retro advertisements.
Cool.
Crazy sort of trailers. If you come along on opening night, you'll be able to see Charlton Heston explaining the movie rating system to you while he takes a break from his tennis game.
Oh, goodness.
To discuss
I thought you were going to say rifle shooting or something. Rifle range.
No, he's still in the tennis mode in this clip.
Is he?
But who knows what's off camera? So,
That sounds great. So if you're passionate and you've got a passionate thing for cult movies, definitely Cultastrophe sounds like the one. Zach?
We're hoping to make it a bit of a hub for genre lovers of Melbourne. Cinema Nova will also be having Cinema Fiasco. Oh,
yeah, we've had half of them on here.
Yep. They'll be doing a thing kind of regularly at Nova as well. I believe they have Blackula coming up in early
fantastic.
June. And, of course, The Room will be at Cinema Nova now.
Nothing's complete without the worst film of all time. Have you seen that one, Lindsay, by any...
No, I haven't.
Well, treat yourself to something terrible.
It brings audience
participation.
Brings audience participation to a new level, that one. But that's now playing the first Saturday of every month. But every other week, Friday night, 9:45, if you want to see some cult, maybe some horror, maybe some martial arts, or maybe just some crazy stuff like a David Cronenberg film, you'll know where to find us.
Yeah. Look, did you see his son's film?
Antiviral.
Yes.
Yes, I thought it was quite an interesting update on the Cronenberg body horror legacy.
It's interesting. It must be genetic.
Something in the Canadian water, no
must
doubt.
Be. So. Look, oh, that's fantastic. I can't help but resist playing, of course, This is the trailer for the original theatrical trailer of that Hammer horror you spoke about. What's it called again?
The Devil Rides Out.
The Devil Rides Out.
Christopher Lee and Charles Gray.
Yeah, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam. Enjoy 94.9.
Do you believe in the power of darkness? That's a superstition. Now, there you are wrong. The power of darkness is more than just a superstition. It is a living force, which can be tapped at any given moment of the night. Why? On one night of one year, should these people live in mortal fear?
My God! The Goat of Mendes! The Devil himself! Christopher Lee as de Richelieu, who knows he must fight the devil's power to the death.
My God.
Don't look at the eyes, Rex!
Eyes. Eyes. Once filled with love, are consumed with fear. For Tanith is now promised to the devil.
Listen carefully to what I say.
Well, you know, hey, you can't not listen to that. Looking forward to that. Look, it's been great having you on the show, of course, Zach.
Always a pleasure, Sonia. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope that we give the genre fans of Melbourne something to write home about. But definitely come along and say hi. I'll be there every night.
Yeah, great. And you were there for Evil Dead, which was excellent.
Of course, yeah. And that's been going gangbusters, so it's great to see that, you know, that has a home in Melbourne, and everyone's coming along to see it. And it's a bit of a thrill ride, that one.
Yeah, it is fun. Not one for the kids.
Not one for the faint of heart. No, not yet. In a few years.
Give them a few years to grow up first. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yes, this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and a big thanks, of course, going to Zach Hepburn again for talking about something called Cultastrophe. Now there is just myself and Lindsay. Welcome again, Lindsay.
Thank you again.
Lindsay C. Walker is a great artist, I think. My personal idea, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners may be familiar with her work. And if they're not, they soon will be, I think, very shortly, because there is a fantastic exhibition coming up, which we can chat about later. But yeah, I just want to chat to you, Lindsay, about your work and a few of the other things that go on and your passion, because it's your passion, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now on our Facebook for Sci-Fi and Scream, we actually put something up there, one of my favourites of a recent piece of yours, and that is to do with the subject matter of Phantom. What can you tell us about that particular work and why you've included it in your pieces?
The Phantom is my favourite superhero, and I've been collecting comics and other stuff to do with him for a long time. And I even changed my last name to Walker after the Phantom.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep. That's cool.
Yep.
Okay. Lovely. And the whole, we spoke very lightly off air about the colour purple.
Yep.
Yep. And, of course, the Phantom. Wouldn't be the Phantom without that awesome colour.
Yeah. My friend Joe Douglas runs a website called Chronicle Chamber, which is all about the Phantom. And because he knew where at Purple Day was coming up, and he knew I was transgender, he thought I'd do an interview with me.
Okay.
Cool. And I was happy to do that. And
yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. See, it's not all nerve-wracking and terrible, really. So you're a big fan of Phantom, and this is sort of segued or crossed over to your, your person as a trans person.
Yep.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that? Does that affect your work, do you think?
I thought it would have, but after I started transitioning, everything got better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I've had no trouble at all.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You think it's more of a confidence too in your work itself?
I've become a lot more confident since I started my transition.
Fantastic. Great. Now, of course, speaking of passion and everything, you've mentioned the Phantom, and there's that all those other work that you do that I've been looking at online and seriously, was it the Franken track? You'll have to correct me. Did I get that right?
I'm doing a new series of drawings called Sinistar Trek.
Sinister.
Yeah.
Sinistar Trek. Okay, cool.
So I'm just grabbing old, like, Universal monster movie creatures and having them cosplay as Star Trek characters.
So what made you come up with the one that I think people can see on our Facebook page is obviously the Frankenstein monster as Spock? Is
it Spock? Kirk.
Oh, yep. God. See? I can't even get that right. Kirk.
Yep.
James T. Kirk.
Yep. Yep. I've got the old Lon Chaney Phantom of the Opera as Spock.
Oh, right.
Yep. Now I'm doing Dracula as McCoy.
Okay. Any particular reason why you took the monster characters and transferred them?
No, I've been doing a lot of commissions and like weekly challenges for a Facebook page called Oz Comics. And I thought, I need to do something of my own now. So I thought, I was just sitting there, randomly thought of those two things. I'll just join them together.
Okay. Yep. And as far as your passion for genre and, like, obviously you like the Universal Monsters, who would you pick? It's not easy, I know, but I'm putting you in the spot, but who would you pick as the most favourite?
Monsters?
Yeah, the Universal plethora.
I think Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Is he just fun to draw and paint?
Yeah, there's that, because I love drawing monsters.
Okay.
Like the Dracula one I'm working on at the moment, that's the hardest because he's the most human looking.
Yeah, okay.
And Frankenstein was the most fun because he's the most monstrous looking.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
With the bolts.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who came up with the bolts? Whoever they are, the makeup artist, is pretty clever. That's such an iconic look.
Yeah, I think so. Someone knows. I don't.
Excellent. Now, Lindsay, of course, what else is coming up? We've got that great exhibition happening at Art Boy Gallery, and we've had Mark and the boys on before. This is the first time I've actually had, believe it or not, I was thinking to myself earlier, have I or have I not? But I've never had any other artists except Mike Uddy. You may know Mike from the Art Boy Gallery stable, but you're the second.
Oh, cool. I'm honoured.
Thank you. All right. So, okay, what is this new exhibition about, Fanboy versus Art Boy Ladies Night? What do you know about it and why did you enter?
Well, I've been entering for a long time now.
Oh, you've done a few of this?
Yes, since November 2011. I've been doing every one except the recent horror one. I missed out on that.
Oh, okay. Any reason you missed out on that?
Ran out of time, ran out of money. Couldn't do it.
The usual,
I kind of made up for it with the one after, with the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I missed going to that one.
Yep, I did. My this monkey creature made him look like a horror character.
Yeah, you did the flying monkeys, the evil flying. They're amazing.
Yep.
You know, what was the size of those ones? Because I missed going to that particular show. Were they pretty big or?
That was one of my biggest artworks.
Okay.
Since the first one. I try to keep it small because trying to carry the artwork into the from home to there
isn't easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need the TARDIS. Did you enter, was there a Doctor Who one? Did you have a go at that one?
It wasn't a Fanboy versus Art Boy.
Yeah.
It's sort of like if you've got art, bring it in for like a mini exhibition.
Mm.
But I went and saw it and I love seeing the TARDIS there.
Oh, that's great.
So do my kids.
I bet, got the kids here tonight, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like television out there. They're watching through the window.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Now, Lindsay, all right, so what can you, is there anything you can hint about for the ones that you've got in this new exhibition, Lady into Snow?
I've got two pieces, and they are both based on princesses.
Oh, okay.
Of some sort.
Right. Okay, all right.
You know, one's from a comic book, one's from a science fiction movie. Series.
All right, so comics are obviously a big passion for you. Do you still, you know, you get into them? You still read them a lot?
What am I reading now? I read a lot of Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah.
I love 2000 AD.
Yeah, okay. What did you think of the movie? Did you go to that?
Yeah, I loved it. I saw it twice.
Okay, obviously.
Yeah, like, and I've watched it a few times already on the Blu-ray.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even my kids love it.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
That's a bonus. So what is it about comics, do you think? And you yourself, do you consider yourself a comic illustrator or artist?
With what little I've done, I kind of fit in as a comic creator.
Yeah.
I think other people see me more as one than what I do.
But what is it that you think? Why comics? I mean, they're so iconic and, you know, there's so many layers to them. There's so many different stories.
Just the medium. You get the visuals and the stories, literature, sort of like a movie.
Yeah.
But just captured frames.
Yeah, and it's beautiful to look at. I just love looking at comics like even Batwoman. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have a favourite in the Marvel or DC? How do you feel about those two giants?
I really don't read any of the big two.
Oh, okay.
Not very often.
Yeah, so who do you prefer to read if you
Well, I got the Phantom choose? And Judge Dredd.
Yeah, of course.
Out of those two, I think Marvel got a better range of characters.
I think you're right.
But I love Batman.
Yeah, I love Batman, and I'm a Catwoman fan.
Yep.
Personally, or maybe it's because I like, you know, what's her name? The movie was so awesome with Anne Hathaway. Did you like that one?
I do. I think they're a bit overrated. I prefer the Tim Burton Batman movies.
Yeah, they're much more fun too. Yep. Yeah. And, oh, Hollywood costume. I don't know if you've been to that yet, but they've got the Batman outfits, costumes.
Oh, cool.
That's at Acme. So, yeah, get along to that.
Yeah, I want to. I'll keep driving past it.
Yeah. Now, before we let you go there, Lindsay, just a quick one. So we've got the Art Boy Gallery is opening very soon, and this is a celebration of women in pop culture. I think that's fantastic. And I'm pretty excited about, I mean, it's just such an expanse of different characters they could pick.
Yep.
If you could pick a favourite iconic female character, who would you pick?
Oh.
Sorry, it's really throwing you in the end there. It's not easy, is it?
Let's see. Well, I guess Leia.
Princess Leia?
Yep. It's one of the top ones. And
all right.
And Ripley.
And Ripley from the Alien franchise. Yep. Awesome. Yeah, I think those are pretty good company to keep. Be great if they could do something together, but that's in my fantasy world.
Yep.
Hey, well, Lindsay, look, good luck with your artwork and everything. We're loving it.
Thank you.
We'll put some more on our Facebook site for Sci-Fi and Scream. Thanks for coming in.
No, not a problem.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Is anybody there? I found something. I found something.
I've heard the stories of the Nullarbor.
There is absolutely nothing out there.
This sounds like something a white person.
What the hell are you doing?
I saw a woman. That's gonna look real good on the insurance claim.
She looked a lot like my ex. Similar personality too, I'd say.
I need to catch this woman. This is a major discovery. This is the Nullarbor Nymph. The ageless blonde beauty. The legend is true.
I don't like this one bit. Not one bit.
And welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream News. Yes, it has been a while since we've had the squeamish news, but look, we're giving it a go. Now, that was a bit of Terrence Lee's music too from the Lifeformed soundtrack, and there's more of that in the background. So since it has been a while doing the Sci-Fi and Scream News here on Joy 94.9, there's a few things to catch up on. Let's see how we go this evening. Now, in a recent interview, first up, about Lucasfilm, in a recent interview with Lucasfilm's Kathleen Kennedy, there's been some interesting things that have been said about, and in secrecy, about the Star Wars franchise, mainly relating to how fans are an integral part of the franchise, and that, they say, quote, there are things you're going to want to make sure they get to know. Now, that would seem to be at odds with the modus operandi at the moment of J.J. Abrams, who's going to be the director for the next one, and that it basically is not telling fans anything. There's a bit of hush-hush going on, but Abrams isn't in control now, it seems. Well, obviously Disney is. So will Episode 7 be less hush-hush? Not so fast, says producer Brian Burke of the film. And asked in an interview by Film Magazine whether Abrams might ease up on the secrecy for Episode 7, Brian Burke, the producer, said, well, he believes that him and Kennedy haven't had those conversations, but they're sure that they would agree. And they think that because they've grown up watching all of the movies, including E.T., of course, and the Temple of Doom, that they're pretty happy to keep a lid on it for now. So they're not going to give away much. That's a bit sad. So not much there that's new, I'm afraid. And in other movie news and genre, there's a movie version of the hit video game coming out, Assassin's Creed. Creed. Yep, it's going to be starring that dude, Michael Fassbender, and he's been in development now for what seems like an eternity for the film, but it looks like it's finally going to get the green light, and it's soon to be swinging in production. However, we will have to wait probably until May 2015 for it to be released through 20th Century Fox, now that they're in a deal with New Regency Pictures, so the distribution date is a bit of a way off, I'm afraid. Also, no director has been confirmed yet for that one. Next up, earlier in this month of May, it was reported that Chronicle star Michael B. Jordan was up for the role of someone in Fantastic Four. That's right, the Human Torch. So he'll be playing Johnny Storm, aka the Human Torch, and the character is traditionally being portrayed as a white person. Now, Jordan knows that some fans would prefer the comic book continuity in that way, but he actually believes that Johnny Storm's biggest attributes have nothing to do with his skin colour. He says that the characteristics of the Human Torch are his name. You know, Johnny Storm, he's charismatic and he's a bit of a playboy, but that's it. You know what I'm saying? That's all there is, Jordan explains. He does acknowledge that he and Fantastic Four director Josh Trank are good friends because they worked on Chronicle together. So apparently it's upsetting a few fans, but here on Sci-Fi and Scream we think, look, we need more diversity, definitely. And who says that anything is written in stone? Now, Fantastic Four hits theatres March 6, 2015. Again, a bit of a wait for that one. That's from USA Today and sciencefictionnews.com. And finally, Mia Maestro from Alias and Twilight Breaking Dawn Parts 1 and 2 has been cast as a female lead in FX's TV adaptation of The Strain. And that, of course, is based on the book by Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan. So it seems she will play Dr. Nora Martinez. If you've read the book, it's pretty exciting and gory and quite a bit of fun too. Now, she'll be joining the already solid cast with Carrie Stoll, and he's going to be playing Dr. Ephraim Goodweather, the head of the Centre for Disease Control and the Canary Team in New York City. He and his team are called upon to investigate a mysterious viral outbreak with hallmarks of an ancient and evil strain of vampirism. Could be fun. Now, Del Toro and Hogan co-write this pilot, actually, and Del Toro may direct, although that's not definite. Carlton Cuse from Lost and Bates Motel is going to be the executive producer, and so I think it could be one to watch. Now, The Strain was originally published in 2009, and it's part one of a trilogy, followed by The Fall in 2010 and Night Eternal. There's no word on whether depending on the success of The Strain, whether the other two will follow in sequence to become films. Well, we can only hope. The more horror sci-fi, the better, I think. And that's it for Sci-Fi and Squeamish News this week, May the 21st of 2013. So indeed, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Now for a bit of music before we do head off. Now we've got some messages, which is great. Got a message from a Johnny. Loves the music choices. I got a problem with these new Star Trek films, though. It's like they just took the original crew and made them young again. Well, that's a possibility. With the same storylines. Do you agree? Love, Johnny. Kiss, kiss. Well, I actually feel terrible, and I'm going to put Lindsay here in the spot, but I haven't actually seen the new Star Trek movie. Am I bad?
I haven't seen it either.
Well, there you go. We're both naughty. We're really, really bad people. So you haven't seen it either?
No, I really want to, though.
We're bad, aren't we?
Yep.
We are bad.
It's because of JJ's first movie.
You didn't like the 2009?
No, it's because of it. Became a fan of Star Trek.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was always about Star Wars before.
And then I saw that. The Force being with you and everything.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. So you think what Abrams is doing with the Star Trek, you really like it and the way it's paced and everything so far?
Refreshed it.
Oh, yeah. I think he's done. What about all the flare? You know what I mean by flare? You see the light refraction.
Lens flares and stuff.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me. I don't mind.
Yeah, okay. Maybe he'll do the Empire Strikes Back with flare or something, but I think he'll do a good job with the Star Wars 7.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It'll be better than the prequels.
I just wish we knew who the cast was. There's still no talk yet confirming them. Have you heard anything?
Mostly rumours and stuff about having meetings and that with
people
the
having meetings. Yeah, of course, the big three are supposed to make an appearance, but whether or not that is conclusive, I don't know.
Still I've seen videos of Harrison Ford joking about it and on Jimmy Kimmel and things like that.
Yeah.
Getting into fights with Chewbacca.
Oh, in real life. Okay, that's not good. and of course, I mean, the next thing is obviously going to be, if this does well, the number 7. Will that lead on to number 8? And do we need them?
I think it'll happen.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Just build it and they will come. Well, I'm going to play this for you, actually, Lindsay. I thought, why not?
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Who's scruffy-looking?
That was mean of me. I don't mean you're scruffy-looking at all. That came out really wrong. But if anybody knows so far, if there's any more news about exactly who is going to be in the crew of the Millennium Falcon, if it exists for number 7, let us know, because this is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9.
This is Mark Shepherd. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Ah, the sound of Goblin. Yes, none other than, of course, Claudio Simonetti, who we interviewed some time ago. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, of course. And now, before we do leave, because the single life is coming up, for all of us probably, I just want to say thank you again, Lindsay C. Walker, for coming into the studio tonight.
So much fun. I'll do it again.
You will?
Yeah.
I'm going to... Yeah, you're going to have to stick to that promise.
Yeah.
That's it. It's on air and it's going to be podcast, you saying that.
Done.
Okay. And good luck for this week with the exhibition.
Yep, thank you.
And I hope you get more chances to show your work because it is awesome, everyone. It's
thank
beautiful.
You.
Thank you. All right. This was Sci-Fi and Squeam. Have a good evening, everyone, and see you next week when we're going to be finally looking at something we were supposed to do this week, and that is fantasy fiction with Kevin from the Cubby House. And Bailey will be back doing the letter H for her horror virgins in the A to Z of horror. This is Sonia, and this is Sci-Fi and Squeam. Good night. Thanks for listening.
It's Sci-Fi and Squeam, Jim, but not as we know it.
Enjoy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
On a Tuesday night.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.